Scriptures for America has a number of resources available for use by His people. Preachers or Pimps is a booklet, CD, and DVD set created by Pastor Peters. Pastor Peter J. Peters preached on the abhorring that has gone on in the church pulpits of America. Are the preachers in the churches of today God-fearing Christian men who proclaim the Word of God as truth, regardless of the cost? Or are they pimps who have whored themselves for the almighty dollar? Read this booklet and you decide. For a donation of $3 or more, you may order the booklet. For a donation of $15 or more, you may order the entire package consisting of the booklet, an audio CD, and a video DVD. To place your order, you may go online to scripturesforamerica.org. By postal mail, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Call the Radio Ranch at area code 307-742-7582 or email preacher@sfaw.org. Order your copy today of Preachers or Pimps.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning, September 30th, 2017, and we've got Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Jason. I'm glad to be here. Good morning, everyone.
And, well, glad you could make it. I'm not sure if Richard made it on yet or not. Richard, are you there?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I'm coming to you from out of town, but on my cell phone, so not sure how it's coming across, but good morning.
Good morning. Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer to start this program off, and we'll ask Tim if you'll open up the program this morning with a word of prayer.
Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you on this Saturday morning, another day that you've created, another day, another opportunity for your truth to be seen across the world, Lord. And we just ask that you'd open eyes and ears and minds and just make hearts soft, Lord, that you might be welcome. We welcome you here, Lord. We ask that you would come and be part of our day and part of our life. Lord, we just thank you that you're willing and that you have made all the sacrifices to do that. Lord, we're standing in awe of your abilities and of your power. We pray now that you would watch over this broadcast, Lord, that you would make it a blessing to those who hear it, that you would edify where edification is necessary, and that you would just give us words to speak that would be pleasing and honoring to you. Lord, we pray for protection for your people and for us as well, Lord, and we just pray that you'd bless them in a mighty way, that you'd prosper the work of their hands, and that you'd grant them every good thing, Lord. We just pray that you would keep us from harm. And we just thank you for this opportunity, O Lord. We ask all these things in Christ's holy and precious name, by his blood. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things going on in the world right now. And, you know, one of the things that that caught my eye was, you know, here just this week, I guess it came out, the story hit the news yesterday. And the headlines were, Michigan mom faces jail for refusing to vaccinate child. And it talks about the story. It's a Michigan mom says that she is prepared to go to jail if the state forces her to vaccinate her nine-year-old son. And this is in Oakland County. And an Oakland County court has ordered Detroit Metro resident Rebecca Bredo to immunize her son within the next week or face incarceration. But she says that she won't compromise when it comes to her son's health and won't be bullied into submission. So we got, you know, basically you look at this and you read this story and you've got two, you know, you got two different parties. You got somebody, you know, first of all, yes, we have the state that's coming in and saying, okay, you're going to either vaccinate your child or you're going to go behind bars. You're going to jail, okay, which is, you know, definitely wrong, and, you know, that's something that we
absolutely
don't agree with. But here's somebody that's just saying, okay, well, you know, if I don't vaccinate my child, I'm just willing to go behind bars. You know, I mean, where are things going?
Absolutely.
Yeah, where's the fight? Where's the fight? Where's the desire for righteousness and not just for, you know, there's still just that blind obedience to the state, that blind obedience to the judge. I mean, it sure, I haven't seen that story, but we've sure seen him in the past. It's like the people don't realize that there's another option. That option of imprecatory prayer and relying and trusting and knowing that God will deliver.
It's not even that. I mean, I remember when they were talking about a mandatory bird flu vaccination. You know, I think the pastor put it pretty good. He said, and we were talking about it before broadcast one day, and you know, it said it's pretty simple. You want to inject me and my children with heavy metals, toxins. I can inject you with heavy metals and toxins, going about 950 feet per second at 230 grain doses. And here it is. Okay. What do you think? I mean, honestly, what do you think if you go behind bars and you don't think that they're going to mandatory take your child? If it's coming to this point, you don't think that once you're behind bars that they're not going to vaccinate your child? I mean, come on.
The choice is coming down to, what type of resistance or what type and that's where you're going is. It's basically, there's a point there where they backed her into a corner, which is what she said. I feel angry and backed into a corner, like my rights as a parent have been taken away. And they have, because basically there's no choice left there. Like you say, it's like you either vaccinate him or we will, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know? So, and it doesn't take a village to raise a child. I mean, it takes heavenly kingdom and some parents. And if either one of those things are missing, then there's compromised values and everything else as a result of it. You can't give your children those sorts of things. And from what I read in there, she's not even anti-vax. It's just a personal choice. And I think that when you go back to that business with not only when privacy is taken away, which is basically what they're doing, if you look around you and just keep your eyes open for it, you'll be amazed at how much you see. When your right to privacy is gone, all of your choices are gone. All of your freedom of religion is gone and everything else. You have a right to decide that without, I mean, who violated her right to privacy and jumped in there on this? I mean, how does that work?
Exactly.
Well, Tim, the thought that occurs to me is that it's, you know, a slave does not have rights. And, you know, the Bible talks about it. I remember our pastor teaching on it, that we are slaves today. You hear so much about slavery and reparations, and it's just all, it's all fluff. But, what the Bible tells us, we will either be slaves to sin, and, of course, the corruption that follows, or we will be slaves to Christ. And when we become slaves to Christ, he no longer calls us slave, but friend. And Jesus Christ is the best friend to have. Whether you're facing a fiery furnace, whether you're facing a lion's den, whether you're facing a 9-foot giant, doesn't matter. But Jesus is the friend to have. And, it's not this little long-haired, hippie, sandal-wearing, dope-smoking Jesus that the world has put out, but it is the Jesus that walked in the fire with the three Hebrew boys. Our youth, and it's the Jesus that was with David when he picked up that stone and said, I'm going to feed Goliath. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds today. And that's the Jesus that when we are obedient to his word, certainly believe, but when we are beyond belief and obedient to his word, that's when he calls us friend. And then we are no longer slaves to the system. We are no longer slaves to sin, but friends of Christ. and that changes it all. And but people try to come out of that slavery, or they try to come against the slave masters apart from Christ. And that doesn't work, does it, Jason? I mean,
it
just doesn't.
You know, and that's one of the things that people got to realize is, you know, I mean, right now, I mean, until this person right here, until they are bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, they belong to the system. I mean, and that's what, you know, baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, it takes us from one domain to another domain. It takes us under the authority of one system and puts us under the authority of another system. And, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. As I read this, you know, yes, it angered me. It upset me. It, you know, frustrated me. But at the same time, it's something that they have every right to do, because they can do that because that is, they are the taskmasters. And they have the right and the ability to do it. And until a person is bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, they can do whatever they want to them, because that cow, you can look at it a lot of different ways, but that is wearing the brand of the state. That person right there is wearing the brand of the state, unless they have been transferred from one organization into another.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is.
I like how you put that, Jason, that brand. You know, our pastor taught on that. And there's so much to that. You know, it's getting to be the time of the year. We'll probably sell a few head of cattle here. And they're branded. And you know, there's a process to move those cattle from the ownership of one entity to another. And it really is the same way when you have to change that ownership, to change who you are a slave to. And it's not just belief. The enemy has done a good job of just believe. And that's the only scripture they want to quote. And it's just, there's more to it. You know, it's that way with cattle. You know, you want to move cattle, you call the brand inspector and you schedule with him, and he comes out, looks them over and checks the brands, and you know, just to make sure that's good. Then he fills the paperwork out. Then you have to pay. You know, there's a little fee because it's just, you know, it's involved. There's a few things, specific things you have to do. If you want to sell cattle and you take them to the sale and you don't have that brand, you don't have that paperwork, it doesn't work. You can't change the ownership. And I think it's like that. I know it's like that with true Christianity. There's a process involved. It's not as complicated, but there's still a process. There's a few things that have to happen, and it's not just belief. It's belief, it's repentance, water baptism, as you mentioned.
And there's completely a difference between water baptism. Our pastor taught on that too. Water baptism doesn't do nobody anything. It's baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus.
For the remission of sins, yes.
And that
absolutely
is completely, and when you hear somebody talk about water baptism, that is not the same as, you know, we had an Applicite son of hell that was in here for a long time, and that's what he talked about, was water baptism. And that's as close as he would come to talking about baptism for the remission of sins, but it was completely different. So don't get that. Don't get that confused.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for correcting me there, Jason. It is baptism for the remission of sins, not because, not an outward sign, but it is for the remission of sins. So your name can be put in the Lamb's Book of Life. So your sins can be washed away. So you can contact that blood of Christ. Because if you don't do that, if you don't repent, if you don't follow through with those things, it's like being at the sale barn with a load of cows. You're not going to do anything with them. They're going to stay in the trailer. They are not. You're not going to change the ownership. That our people would understand that.
Well, it's certainly the way we get clean hands, so that can be done. And there's a lot of talk about that. So it's a necessary. It's necessary. It's absolutely necessary.
Well, and it's interesting too. I mean, as we talk about these things, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Tim, but you know, as we we talk about, you know, stepping on the feet of you know, different basically different small G gods. You know, have you guys noticed what is going on with the NFL lately?
Yes. And that is certainly a whatever we call it, a small G god or an idol. Boy, that idol is getting attacked, isn't it?
Absolutely. People are getting upset with them. I mean, they've had enough.
Yes. The attendances have fallen in a really huge way, as I understand it. I mean, I've been following it a little bit too, and the stadiums are empty, and people are upset. And you know, they said ticket sales are down huge amounts, and there's a lot of and you know, serving God is not something that even the heart, you know, God's law is written on the hearts of the people, and you can see that when you see some of this stuff coming in. I mean, when you boil this all down, it's not really I don't even think it goes back to a flag issue or whatever. It's a, you know, our rights to serve God, are those things are being struck at all over the place, and this is a really in your face one that people aren't taking this one laying down, are they?
No, that's what I've seen. I mean, I've seen a lot of people that, and from what I understand, is they are not getting it's not getting the media coverage that that even does it justice. I mean, I've heard that. I mean, it's all over the place, and I've heard it, you know, just in passing here locally. You know, people talking about it, and I'm like, I don't watch football anyway. And people are asking me, oh, well, you know, what do you think of this or that? You know, concerning the football stuff. And you know, I don't watch football. I never have. Watched a couple games years ago, and that was it. And it don't understand it, don't like it. And it was kind of funny because, I mean, I've heard it brought up a lot lately. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to watch the football game or not? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to watch the football game. Well, is it because of this? And I'm like, no, it doesn't have anything to do with that. I just don't like football. But it's obviously, it's stepping on some people's toes, and it's been pretty funny because, you know, it's kind of the talk of the town, you know, lately. And I noticed the NBA, the head of the NBA Association, which is the Basketball Association, National Basketball Association, sent a memo late Friday to all of the teams saying that all the players must stand for the national anthem. And
you know what? And it's funny you mentioned that, Jason, because the NFL has that rule in place, you know, that's what they do, you know, that but they're not doing it. So yeah, but the NBA, I think they see the writing on the wall. They see the money, and that's what it is. It's the money. When people stop buying tickets, when they stop going to games, Google burning your NFL jacket, and just Google that and see. I had a couple of emails last week, people saying, take a look at this, and there's people that are mad out there. I saw one guy that, he said, you know, he said, NFL, you have lost me. I'm gone. You've made your choice. And he piled up about $1,000 worth of NFL clothes and stadium seats, $500 leather, you know, New Orleans or something jacket, piled it on his barbecue pit and doused it with lighter fluid and burned it. And there's many of those. And you know, the at least those people that I saw, they were mad, and that's good. That's good. You know, they've been in a comfort zone that's a false comfort zone too long, and things need to change. And I think this is one of the steps to change. One of the steps for people to have their eyes opened. To, you know, things are not the way you think they are.
Well, I seen an interview here, it was yesterday or the day before, and one fellow who was evidently a fairly predominant, you know, figure in the media world, his son, who was like 11 years older, his daughter, he had his daughter and his son, and he said, we're a really big football family, you know, we do this, we do that. And to listen to it talk, it sounded like setting up for worship, you know, I mean, we do this, we do that. The whole day is devoted to getting ready for this game. And he said, we turned it on and they wouldn't do that. And he said, my children were like, shut it off, Dad, we don't want to watch it. And he said, I was all ready to watch it, whether they stood or not. And he said, I thought, wow. And he said, you know, I was just really, I don't think he used the word convicted. I don't remember the word, but he said, we shut it off. And I kind of likened that in my mind. I was like, well, that's kind of like tearing down the pillars or...
the high places, absolutely.
Yeah, cutting down the grove. Yeah, and I was like, well, thank you, Lord. That's a... just to get up and, you know, that off switch is really hard to turn off for some people in those instances. So that's huge. And here we have some children leading the way and getting to Dad's conscience about it. So I just thought it was I think it's a godly sign, don't you? I mean.
Yeah, I do. Well, I think it's part of that breaking the spell. I mean, I think that it's one of those things that, you know, you see things like that happening, and it tells you that, you know, there has been a spell cast upon a nation, and that's been a huge part of it is this NFL, NBA, you know, the sports. I mean, that's become people's god.
Yeah. Well, years ago, I used to... you know, you don't think about it. They talk about the NFL fans and the fan base and this and that. And, you know, as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, we look around and I can remember looking and seeing them paint themselves. And, my goodness, they act totally crazy sometimes. But, you know, then they made fun of David when he danced for joy before the Lord. I mean, the word fan is fanatic, you know, and that's what they are. But if you are a fanatic for your Lord and Savior, well, then you're something that they want to sneer at or something. But I guess it's just about your motivation and which God you want to serve. So, you know, choose you this day. Small G God, I like that, yeah.
Amen. And, you know, folks listening in, if this sounds strange to you, if you're not familiar with it, pastor wrote a book, geez, 25, 30 years ago called Baal Worship in America. Baal Worship in America. We've got it at the ministry. It is more relevant today. It applies more today than it did when he wrote it. Because we are seeing the Baals in the land, the NFL, the false religions, the things that the people worship, the rights that the people thought they had. And they don't. So we've got that book. If you'd like it, you can write to us. Send us an email, whatever. We'd be glad to send it to you. But it is a book full of information that you need to understand. You need to understand what the Baals are. And if you don't understand the Baals, that's okay. You know, I remember John had talked, just maybe a year ago, or I think it was late last year. He goes to a Wednesday morning prayer group with just some men that don't go to our church, but just a separate group, and has been kind of trying to lead and guide them, and was mentioning Baals, and they thought, now these are church-going men, grown men, that go to church that are leaders in their church, that teach Sunday school and are elders and things, and they thought Baal was just another name for God, for our God, the God of the Bible. And it's not. It is a false God. It is a God of the other peoples of the land and other peoples of the world, and not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's as simple as that. But so if you'd like that book, we have it. It contains a wealth of information. And again, we are seeing that today. We are seeing those Baals being exposed for what they are, the false gods. And I think it's good. It's it is more birth pangs, I think is what it is.
Yeah, exciting times that we're living in, that's for sure.
Well, and it seems to me that the more they try to tighten their grip, I mean, is it not obvious to anyone who wants to look at it that there's a battle for the minds and souls of people going on out there? I mean, they continue, the more that they tighten that grip, the more things the Lord sends their way to undo them. We pray for confusion to be cast into their midst and the enemies of God, that is, you know, and there's a lot of imprecatory prayers going on out there, and I think we see a lot of that going on. It's just like they think they're doing something that's going to create a situation there that's going to solidify their position in the Antichrist world, and it backfires on them lately a lot. I mean, there's been so many things, whether it's fake news coming up in front of people, this NFL deal. I mean, we see so many new pricks in their eye as they try to do that. This vaccination issue is becoming, I mean, we've got people coming out of the woodwork who aren't even like this lady. She says she's not anti-vax. But she said, you know, she doesn't want to do that because of the issues. There's all kinds of things there that as they try to tighten that grip and try to change the balance or change the power there that it's blowing back on. And that rock, that stone is rolling back down the hill and flattening them. And I just, you know, thank you, Jesus. I mean, as we see these things go on for his people, I mean, it's just, it's nothing that we did. I mean, the Lord's on the move there, and it's waking. I think there's an awakening happening across this land, and people are casting around and searching for the alternative, so to speak, which isn't really the alternative. They're already there, but they don't know it. So, I think it's a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, as you look at that, I mean, a lot of this stuff, too, it's kind of interesting because, you know, another article by the Daily Caller this week came out, and it says, mainstream media is reporting about Twitter's fake news. And the whole article was basically about the people that are calling the mainstream media fake news, about them being fake news. And it's like, okay, so people are calling them liars, and they're calling them liars because they said that they were reporting fake news. As you look at it, it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, it's just, I mean, it gets confusing, but at the same time, it's one of those deals that it's like, okay, obviously somebody ruffled somebody's feathers.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's been a lot of, well, and that's some more of their clouding the waters. And wow, we talk about false flags and all that kind of stuff, and they have to have contingencies in place to continue to pull the wool over people's eyes. And, you know, eventually some of these folks are going to figure out, the ones that are called and chosen, are going to figure out that there is one truth giver, you know, and that's our Lord. So I think some of this is just some more that's coming down the pipe.
Yeah, and I mean, as you look at, you know, I mean, this week another thing that was kind of interesting is this librarian rejects racist Dr. Seuss books donated by Melanie Trump, and basically, Melanie Trump donated 10 Dr. Seuss books to a bunch of libraries across the country, and they came back and they said, well, she was donating it, and it was a racist book. I mean, and you try to tell me what library across this country does not have Dr. Seuss books in it already?
Already, yeah.
And, you know, now they're playing this racist card. Racist, racist, racist. Oh, yeah, you know. I mean, where are people at? Well, with and that?
And they're trying to stir that race. Well, and that's what the, you know, they're trying to make this whole NFL thing all about racism too. And then you go back to the removing of all of the monuments and everything else across this land because they're racist.
Yeah,
and,
tell me who the racists are. I mean, really.
Yeah. Well, and one interview, and I unfortunately can't remember the names, that I thought was really interesting was this fellow said, well, yeah, it's all these monuments are racist because, you know, a bunch of white guys got together and started this country, and, you know, they didn't leave any room for us and everything, so we want to take all this out because it's all just racist, and we're supposed to be a melting pot. And I was like, you want to talk about thesis and antithesis? Don't those two statements jive in that statement? I mean, those two axioms that it was started by white people for a bunch of white people, and now it sounds more like a hostile takeover or something, you know. I mean, at some point, it's just like, okay, something there's not quite right.
You know, Jason, you did a real good article in the newsletter. It's been a year or two. It's a two-parter on the book, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And I think you touched on this very thing because this is one of their goals, one of their guidelines for destroying Christian nations, is to play the race card and to promote it. And we're seeing it in our lifetime. When we see these older messages from our pastor, we see it being prophesied. We see it being warned about. When we see these, we see our pastor saying, this is what's going to happen. If you don't change, this is what's going to happen. And the country hasn't changed, and it's what has happened. Folks, it's another book we carry, The Protocols. And if you're listening in and saying, what are these guys talking about? Where did they get this stuff? The truth is there. You mentioned that, Tim, the truth. You're not going to get the truth from CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, but you can get it from the Word. And there are a few books that are still out there that outline what we're going through today. If you want to look, they're there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and basically, I mean, as you look at this, the Cat in the Hat books, the Dr. Seuss books that are rejected, they keep saying, well, was the Cat in the Hat black? And it was the hidden racism of children's literature.
Hidden, right? Well, they found it, so it must not have been too well hidden, according to them.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And there's a whole bunch of that kind of stuff that's the only reason, it's pretty obvious to anybody who looks at that the only reason that they, like you said, every library, I don't think I've ever been to a library that didn't feature some Dr. Seuss books in the children's section. You know, having small children and going to the library, like, I can remember seeing them, like, The Cat in the Hat, Green Eggs and Ham, different ones like that, and they're already there. So obviously the point there is not about the books, but it must evidently be about who donated them or furthering their agenda as far as this racist issue goes. And it seems like they really want to get on Trump, on the Trump train in general, as far as being racist and everything else. And, I don't see it. So it's pretty obvious to, I think, those of us who look at it that way, don't you, as far as.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, well, and it, you know, it's interesting too as we look at, you know, some of the things that have happened too just across this country. I mean, basically we're living in perilous times. We're living in different times than we were last year. With the hurricanes, I mean, we've got hurricanes, we've got earthquakes, we've got everything that's, I mean, just, I mean, talk about nothing being the same anymore.
Right.
It's Earth changes. I mean, drastic Earth changes. You know, we see what's happened over with Hurricane Harvey. You know, and you know, one of the things that that really hits home is there is so much stuff that is out of sight, out of mind. I mean, people see it come across the television, and they don't realize that these people, the people that are dealing with that, that are in down there in those areas that were affected, are going to be dealing with the recovery for years. It's going to be, you know, it's not a one-time thing where you hear about it on the news and next week it's over and everything's fine and dandy. And we've got
now these things take years, don't they? Yeah.
Oh yeah, they take years. Yeah. They take a long time. I mean, you know, they're still working on repairing power grids down in Florida, and they still are working on the same thing in Texas. You know,
and in Puerto Rico.
And Puerto Rico.
Yeah. I know one of the things talking about earth changes that I just recently seen was the earthquake index in California and Nevada. Just this is like within the last few days. It's up. There's over 1,200, and some of them are really small. But you have to realize when you're talking a difference from say 100 to 300 on a normal year, you're over almost to 1,300 earthquakes in just a few months. In the California and Nevada area, you know, I mean, that's one of them. You got volcanoes erupting all over the place, and we've got these big storms. I mean, and people affected. Yeah, there's a lot of upheaval going on all over the place, and I don't think we're hearing anything close to about it and what's happening.
Isn't that the way it is though too? I mean, you know, Puerto Rico, they haven't wanted to have anything to do with the United States for how long now? And now that they're in this devastation, okay, they're crying out for the United States to save them. I mean,
right?
And you know, that's not the way it works. You know, and that's not the way it works with our Heavenly Father. You can't come to Him when you're in that, after you've had the devastation, and you know, cry out to God and expect God to save you. There's some stuff that needs to be done ahead of time.
Exactly. Yeah. Might want to serve a little while you're before all that happens. So.
Yeah. You know, Jason, I think that ties back to the story earlier about the lady in the vaccination and her child. You know, it's just a personal preference. Well, you know, the slave doesn't get to make a choice like that. And so if you want deliverance, well, it can come through the Lord. But, and you mentioned 2 Chronicles 7:14 before. It's if or when
my
people do this. When my people do this, then I will do this. And that works both ways. His people, our people, have been sinning and living in sin and being acceptance of sin. And so as a result, because his people have done that, he has allowed the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the storms and the consequences of sin to be upon us. You can read Leviticus 26. You can read Deuteronomy 28. And they both say about the same thing. If you sin, this is what's going to happen. If you obey me, this is what's going to happen. And we're living that today. We're seeing that today. So the fix, you know, the fix is not, as Pastor used to say, writing letters to Congress. The fix is not petitions. The fix is not marches and boycotts. The fix is repentance. And until the people do that, follow 2 Chronicles 7:14, it will continue. I like how you bring that up, Jason, that yeah, you don't just live a life of sin and wanton pleasure, and then when something happens, oh Lord, save me. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way, you know?
Well, you take this story with this lady with the vaccinations. I mean, there is a completely difference in it just my decision. I just want to make it's a personal preference versus a religious conviction.
Man.
And a lot of people don't. They look at that and they say, "Oh, well, it's one and the same." You know, no, it's not. It's completely. It's a completely different scenario, and it's a completely different in a court of law.
Absolutely. Yeah. What is your motive? What is your motivation? Right. Yeah.
Right. It's something you just if you just don't want, and that really applies to so many things, whether it's taxes but especially like you said, because the states have and the counties have and always have had a form that you can go fill out. You know, if at all possible, be at peace with all men. They have a form you can fill out, a religious exemption to immunizations, because they've always recognized that, at least in the past. Mm-hmm. And I know the state of Wyoming had a case just about 12 years ago, went to the state Supreme Court along those same lines. A woman filled out a religious exemption form for her daughter, and the school began to question about it. Well, what religion is it? And why do you think this way? And I need examples and all this kind of stuff. And, the lady said, no, you don't need any of that stuff. Well, anyway, it went to the state Supreme Court. And the state Supreme Court ruled in the lady's favor that, listen, if she's filled the form out, that is sufficient for a religious exemption. That's the way it's been in the past. We're seeing that being attacked in California. I think they've done away with that in California. And so here it is on the other coast that, like was mentioned earlier, it's just being lumped in. Oh, it's all the same. It's all the same. No exemptions. We want to poison everybody, is what their goal is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, and motivation and conviction are not the same thing. Conviction creates motivation, but motivation is not a conviction. You know, and that's kind of where some of that comes from. Just like on this lady, she has a motivation not to have her son immunized because of a lot of technical or physical facts, and they may be relevant and they may be real, but the conviction supersedes and extends far beyond that. And I think conviction is rooted in faith, you know, I mean, and in belief and in the power of God. I mean, you have those sort of things, but there's an order there, too, as far as between motivation and conviction.
Amen. I don't remember what message it was that the pastor preached on where he talked about the difference between a preference and a conviction, but it was... We've been on the ministry and been Christian for, 25 years now, I guess, 25, 26 years. And it was one of the very first messages that we heard in him explaining the difference between a preference, that you prefer this, you prefer to drive a Dodge, or you prefer to live in the country, or, you know, I prefer to keep my money and not pay tax, but I do it I pay taxes anyway to, you know, be at peace with all men, whatever. There's, you know, preferences. Well, I prefer this. I prefer that. I prefer boots over tennis shoes. You know, I prefer steak over chicken. There's preferences. But then there's convictions. And a conviction is no. And it's as simple as that. And like you said, that then you start getting into faith. And convictions don't come lightly. And if I remember correctly, it was, convictions are like the old, you can have my gun when you can pry my dead cold fingers away from it. That's a conviction,
yes.
You know, that you would die for, that you, you know, and of course the majority of those convictions are religious convictions. And some people have those convictions, and when you have those convictions, those are, like you said, I think you said it, Tim, they're based on faith. They're based on and then it's a conviction, and you can't, you know, we have always been a country and a people that have recognized people's conviction. We say that, hey, if they're convicted of that, of a crime, if they're convicted of it, then, I mean, that sticks. That sticks.
Yes.
But it's the same way with other convictions, same word. If they're convicted to, for faith reasons, to not have their children immunized, then you will have to take their children from their cold, dead hands, or you will have cold, dead hands if you try to immunize.
Exactly.
That's a conviction. I know
that conviction is... Yeah. Conviction's one of those things that takes... Conviction's one of those things that takes you all the way to the wall. You know, it's like, it is a root belief that God placed in you. It's that law written upon your heart. One of my favorite examples is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they were convicted not to bow down and worship that image of the king. And when he brought them before him, he said, explain yourselves. And, you know, it makes my hair stand up to this day when I think about their answer to him. It's like, we're not careful how we answer you, O King, but we will not bow down to that image. And even whether our God saves us or when you throw us into the furnace, whether he saves us or not, we're convicted. He does whatever he thinks is right. You know, that's conviction. That's pure conviction in its most elemental form. It's like, I believe that my God can save me. I believe that he can bring about the perfect ending, the perfect scenario in this. But even if he doesn't, he's convicted me and I won't do it, you know. And that's that surety of purpose. That's that purity of faith that God looks for, and it honors him in everything we do. And like you say, they don't come lightly. So it's you know, I just think it's when we see these things, and that's what a lot of people are, that's when they get tossed about like the waves on the sea that the Bible talks about. They're missing the conviction. They have motivation, they have preference, but the conviction's not there. So right. And they get tossed around.
Amen. How is it that Hebrews describes faith?
The substance of things, the evidence, the seen. And you know, one of the things that, you know, is what we're seeing here too is we've seen an attack upon basically on men, on faith. I mean, there's a reason that they put fluoride in the water system, and just about every city across this nation, and that is, you know, I mean, you look at the side effects of fluoride. It makes people docile. It makes people easier to get along with. It brings down testosterone levels. It has that effect. And they realize that that's where their opposition comes from. And that's why they fight it so cotton-picking hard all of the time. That's the other reason that, you know, we've got so much prostate cancer in this land. I mean, it's an epidemic.
It is. Yeah. It's definitely being attacked, isn't it? I mean, it's got to be as much as the numbers have gone up. And seems like I read something about sperm counts going down in men and stuff, too, which is kind of what you were talking about. I mean, there's definitely been an attack there to eliminate.
There is, yes.
And we see this... I think we talked about the Georgia Guidestones and some of that, but I think that all about us we can see God's creation. I think it's God's creation in total that's under attack. I mean, it says that the world will be blessed in Israel when they follow the Lord. So it stands to reason that the world is not being blessed or is being cursed or is being attacked because God's people aren't in the right order with him, you know. And I think that shows up all the way around us, anywhere from, like we were just talking about, the upheavals in the earth to the physicality of the disease that's showing up in people all across the land. And one of the things that just leaves me sometimes shaking my head is the mental state of people. It's like, how do you... How did you wrap your head around that? You know, I mean, it's like to do that. Whether it's things like there's just all kinds of things that go on in the world that are just unseemly, untoward. I mean, you know, it's moral decency of people who don't even really know the Lord are offended in this day and age by those, let alone those of us who use the word Christian, you know, about how out of line it is with the way God wants things done. So dumping fluoride in the water is a good example. It eats the pipes. It's a, what is it? It's a waste byproduct from aluminum manufacture, isn't it? I think.
Yep. Alcoa.
You know, yeah. And they would have to pay to get rid of it if they didn't dump it in your water. Instead, they get to dump it in your water and charge people for it. So, you know, and it's an interesting, there's just all kinds of stuff like that that's going on around us.
Yeah, it really is. Well, what else are you guys seeing in the news lately in this last week?
Well, one of the things that has caught my eye, I guess, is there's so much talk about artificial intelligence, AI, lately. I mean, it's all over the place in the tech world. And I was, you know, if you read Joshua, the book of Joshua in the Bible, they talk about AI and the similarities between those two things. I know that AI in the Bible was it. The people of AI when they were getting ready to go into the promised land. But isn't it interesting the timing of all that? When you look at what we've just been talking about and how I believe that there are big changes on the horizon in our world today toward turning God's people back toward God. And at that time, he was bringing them out of the bondage of Egypt, you know, and AI was one of those big, roadblocks in the way of going in there. I mean, they hit that, and we've got one of the articles I was reading last night on AI says, oh, it's this new AI is going to think for you. You know, you won't even have to, it'll run your life, you know, and do this and that like it was a good thing. Yeah. So, kind of leaves you a little creeped out, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
So, just one of those things that I thought was an interesting, from the timing standpoint and from the power point of God's enemies, you know, that how they're trying to bring that in. We don't need somebody else to think for us. We need to think like God, and it's pretty obvious to me that their AI is not going to do that. So,
yeah. Exciting times, that's for sure. Well, we have got about 5 minutes left of the program. You gentlemen have any closing thoughts you'd like to close out with?
Well, I guess I would. Just real quick, is, you know, when we're in the times that we're in, in Luke, it tells us about that, famines and earthquakes. And it tells us that it will present us an opportunity for our testimony. And so we are not to fear when we have these things, whether it's AI or the threat of immunization or whatever it may be. We are not to be a fearful people. We are to have the spirit of Caleb when he went into the land of the giants and said, come on, boys, we can take them. And that's the attitude we're to have as Christians. We're to have the attitude of survivors. That's what God called us. And the times that we are in are separating the sheep from the goats. Simple as that. So I'll leave you guys with that. Thanks.
And Tim.
I was looking at this the other day and I thought I'd bring it out. It's Romans 1:18. And it's kind of a moniker for me and as far as the power of the Lord. And it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know the truth. They know what they're doing. They're unrighteous men. And God's wrath is coming for them. So their days are numbered.
Amen. 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 Well, and we are out of time, folks. I want to thank you for tuning in for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live September 30th, 2017. And we encourage you to join us tomorrow morning for church, live from the La Porte Church of Christ. Tune in tomorrow, same frequency. You can join us by going to scripturesforamerica.org and look up that live video stream, and if you got good enough bandwidth, or you can listen into the audio stream there as well. But we do encourage you to go there, visit the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And, gentlemen, want to thank you for being here this morning. We
thank
will go out with a
thank
song.
God bless.